Hubhopper Originals.
Today I'm hanging out with the amazing content creator from Bangalore. She's just mind-blowing and super strong woman. Hey, hi Saloni. Thank you so much for inviting me to your place.
Hi, thank you so much for coming to my home. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And the thing is that I'm really hungry. What are you cooking for me?
I am going to make you a frappuccino because you told me that you really like it. So I'm going to make that. And I think I'll make scrambled eggs. Do you like that?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for awesome. Making my favorite dishes.
That's the benefit of hanging out with kind of a food blogger. You actually get to eat a lot of really nice food.
Yeah. Right. So Saloni, I'll be sitting down with you and trying to understand, like, you know, what's sort of happening in the industry. How did you just evolve through? And what is the new thing? What's the new elephant in the room that Hustle posed? So I'm super excited for it.
Thank you. I am excited to talk about it too.
I'm Omkar Chaudhary. Hello and welcome to How's It Josh Season 2, your unbounded dose of Josh in association with Panout Media. Saloni, I'm super excited because the moment that Nidhi just told me that, you know, we have Saloni on the board, I went through your work and I was completely surprised, mesmerized, because you growing up from corporates and doing this beautiful, you've been building this beautiful empire, this entire beautiful dynasty for yourself. It's sort of very enriching.
Right. Thank you so much.
So I really want to know, ki, what is freedom for you?
Right. That's a very good question. Honestly, for me, I started on this journey personally because for me, the definition of freedom that was given to me by my standard 9-to-5 job that I was in wasn't enough. So I think personally for me, I would say if I have three things, I would call that freedom. The first is the fact that I have time freedom where I can define my own schedule. I can work around my own, I can actually work on my own terms and not have to stick to a particular time that I need to be in office for a particular time in a day. And just having the freedom to build my own routine and my own schedule, I think that's one kind of freedom that I cannot do without. I think the second kind of freedom is location freedom, where I didn't want to be tied down to a particular city or I didn't want to be tied down to a particular location because I love traveling and I would love to, you know, have the freedom to work from anywhere in the world and still get the job done with 100% of its at the 100% capacity. So I think that was another part of freedom that my 9-to-5 didn't give me. And the third kind of freedom, which also is really important, is financial freedom. So I really wanted, you know, financially to feel free to be able to travel, to do the kind of things that I really wanted to do and live the kind of life that I always wanted to do. So I think if I have time freedom, if I have financial freedom, and if I have the freedom of location, I think that truly, honestly, is what real freedom means to me.
All right. So, like, you know, understanding your answer, I feel like you really love to be a free soul, where, you know, you get the freedom to freedom of place, freedom of time, and freedom to do. And, like, you know, just put down your work onto your own ways.
Right. Absolutely.
Very true. Saloni, you're from a batch of India's first gen of content creators.
Right.
You guys are redefining what stardom is, what entrepreneurship is.
Right.
So where did you muster the courage from? What sort of build up your mind to exit your previous job when nothing was on the plateau?
Right. Again, you know, I would not call this a very courageous thing. Honestly, in all honesty, if I have to give you the absolute truth for this answer, the step that I took wasn't a courageous decision, at least not in my head. It was kind of like an escapist decision that I was so tired of my 9-to-5 job. I was so tired of the monotony. I was so tired of, you know, being tied down to a particular routine and to a city and just not having the kind of freedom that I spoke about in the previous question. Just not having that got to me so badly at a point that, you know, I was just looking for an escape. And that's where I assumed that, you know, YouTube came into the picture. Because with YouTube, I think I really got a chance to, just have a creative outlet. When I started, this wasn't supposed to be a career. This wasn't supposed to be a business. It wasn't supposed to be any of that. It was just supposed to be a creative outlet for me to really, like, do something beyond beyond my job and really like feel happy about it. So that's how I started. And over time, you know, of course, when any content creator starts on this journey, there are a lot of hurdles that sort of come into their way. So for me, I think the biggest hurdle I faced was the fact that, you know, I was answerable to so many people. Like, of course, I started making these videos, and because I wanted people to watch them, I would share them on Facebook, and I would share them with people on WhatsApp, and I would do all of that just to get views. And you know, I had to sort of explain what I was really doing to a lot of people, especially in my office. While I had all the good luck to be in a place where, you know, where I had all the freedom to work on side projects as well. I think one thing that really got to me was, you know, a lot of people asking me, but like, really, why are you doing this? Like, why are you making a video telling people what you eat in a day? Who cares about that? But for me, I think I knew there were some people who enjoyed watching this kind of content because I watched that kind of content and I used to really feel connected to whoever was making it. So I think a lot of courage also sort of came from the fact that, you know, even if people around me were not really able to understand, there was this virtual community that was starting to get built, who understood where I was coming from, who got an idea of, you know, what I was doing, and really were super supportive of everything that I was doing, and kept coming back to my channel for more and more. So I think it was a little bit of escapism from what I had, the reality that I had.
And on the similar lines, even they were accepting you for like what you were doing.
Absolutely. And none of them ever came to me is like, why are you doing this? Because these people were seasoned with watching content on YouTube. So at least on that platform, I never really had to explain people why I was doing what I was doing, as against, you know, what I was really doing with a lot of other people in my life.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And Saloni, there's this thing that I'll really come in the conversation that we have today about talking about the revenue model, about the YouTube and how the guys are facing a lot of scarcity of revenue. But the very first question, the mainstream question that I want to ask you is, like, YouTube is not just a content creating platform. It's sort of a valve, I would say, which is directing people from YouTube to business. Like, many people are, it's sort of a wall. Like, you know, we have got walls in the industries wherein one liquid is coming and it gets into like one pipe, second pipe, third pipe.
Correct.
So it's kind of that wall when the people are redirecting the people, the audience from YouTube to sort of their business. So how much of YouTube helped you to curate your own business?
Oh, I would give all of the credit to YouTube personally for being able to build my business. Now, just to give you a little bit of context of where I come from a family where, you know, success really was just defined by landing a good job. So nobody in my family runs a business. There isn't anybody who is even, you know, remotely associated with running their own venture or anything. So and while everyone's doing really well in their own careers, everyone is in a very standard career, which is, you know, coming out of a college, getting a good job, and then working really hard and growing in that job. So that's the kind of mindset that I grew up with, and that was the kind of life that I envisioned for myself as well. But and everything was, you know, starting to work really well for me because A, I was a good student, B, I was hardworking in general also in life. So it's like everything put together, you know, pushed me to that direction, and I ended up getting good jobs and I ended up doing well in my career and everything. But over time, I realized, you know, like I said, because for me, the definition of freedom was so different that that itself was not enough. So that's when I started exploring. And because of YouTube, like today, I run multiple businesses. I have my own academy. I have my own media house, which is Hustle Post, where I speak about, you know, where I speak to career oriented people. I have my own line of planners and journals. I have my own digital product line. And I do a lot of things on the side now. And 100% of all of that was possible only because I chose to spend a lot of my time and energy on YouTube. When I started out, like, if today if I look back and I imagine that if I created a planner and if I launched it in the market, I don't think how many people would have bought it, because there are a lot of planners that exist in the market and there are a lot of people who do that. But the reason why I know for a fact that today if I launch something, at least I have a ready base of customers who are excited and who are looking forward to buy things from me, is only because, you know, I've spent 3 years nurturing that relationship on YouTube by providing them with content. So when they see that, you know, for free, if this girl's willing to provide me so much of content, imagine if I pay her money, maybe she would give me a lot more than that. So I think that relationship that I've built with my audience, that level of comfort that they have with me, I think that's all because of YouTube.
Wonderful, wonderful. And talking about YouTube, like back then, like 5 years when there was not so much of content creators on YouTube, the people, the topmost people who were earning, there was a lot of good payment that they used to get or they used to earn through. But today there's sort of a disintegration, I would say. There are a lot of content creators coming on board. And yesterday also I was speaking to one of the content creator and she said that it's really getting difficult at times to survive because people speak sometimes shit in the comment. And on the top, like we invest so much for the video edit, for the posting and like, you know, recording. So it's not so much kind of a source of revenue. Okay, so today the earnings from YouTube has really shattered or come down. So what is your take on this?
Right. So what I would honestly say to this is, you know, how much can you possibly earn from YouTube really depends on what you do with that platform. So there are multiple ways, you know, using which you can actually earn from YouTube. One of the most common ways is the fact that YouTube itself pays you a certain amount of money to it allows you to monetize your content. So just because of the fact that you're uploading on YouTube on a regular basis, YouTube pays you some amount of money, which comes through the ad revenue. So I think that's that amount has gone down, yes, but it's because so many people have sort of come into the picture and the competition has only grown. You know, ever since I joined, there were still a few names that were really popular. But now today, there are so many amazing creators who've come into the scene. And as much as, you know, I want to feel bad about it that I have competition, it also makes me feel really beautiful about the fact that, you know, a community that was so tiny is now starting to grow. And, you know, I had a small hand in making sure that, you know, more people found the courage to really like explore and do things on YouTube. So in terms of revenue, yes, the YouTube AdSense revenue has come down, but I wouldn't say that the earning potential has been impacted because, you know, like for me, I knew for a fact that I was not, because of the kind of content that I create, unless you are a comedy creator or a dance creator, it's very difficult to hit those million numbers on YouTube, right? It gets difficult because not everyone comes to YouTube to listen to serious content, which is what I create, like topics around education, finance. This can get really boring and YouTube is still a very strong sort of escape. An escape medium for people when they're bored of their real life, they want to go and have fun on YouTube. So I know for a fact that I'm not going to easily hit those million numbers very quickly. So, but for me, given the fact that my earning potential would remain a little sort of compromised at that level, I still know for a fact that YouTube gives me possibilities to explore a lot of other things like the parallel businesses that I spoke about, because I was able to start them because of YouTube. So a lot of the revenue that comes from there, while it's not directly from YouTube, it has happened because of YouTube. So in terms of earning potential, right, it really depends on how much do you want to really do with what you have on YouTube. Like even I know for a fact that there are content creators who have like, let's say 10,000 subscribers, but they've made a thriving business out of it by starting their consulting practices or by starting their own line of products or you know, have building a coaching business out of it. So a lot of people, even with a very limited number of audience, have been able to really grow a thriving business out of it. So what your earning potential really depends on, you know, what kind of business model do you subscribe to when you're on YouTube? While YouTube is a creative medium, a lot of business acumen is also needed to ensure that, you know, you earn on a regular basis through that.
Wonderful. Well said, Saloni. Right. And there was one statement which you gave, like, you know, that statement was like, back then there were only few names which were like very popular, but today there are like 10 or like, I would say 100 names which are quite popular. And that's the reason we have got a disintegration and the revenue policies have gone down. The amount that has been shared has gone down.
Right.
So do you sort of have a fear of losing audience? Like in what sense? I'll tell you, when there are 10 people, like initially there were only 10 people, so I'll go and watch 10 videos. Right. But today there are 100. So there might be a possibility that they might skip your video, or in that way, do you have a sort of that scare? Are you envy about it, or like is there some negative notion?
Right. So I would say yes and no. Yes, in the sense that of course there's a little bit of fear, in the sense that, you know, yesterday when I started speaking about lifestyle and productivity, I was the only person on YouTube India who was kind of speaking about finance and, you know, who was speaking about productivity, minimalism and things like that. So I was one of the only creators who was doing that on YouTube. But today I know for a fact that there are so many amazing other creators who've come up. So is it scary? Of course it is. Like, competition is scary for everyone. But does this really take away anything from me? I don't necessarily think so, because there's this thing, right? Like, you know, as long as your content is good, as long as you're confident that you're providing value, as long as you're confident that what you're creating is truly unique to you, it's the competition doesn't really matter. Because while you may speak about the same thing on like two completely different creators may make a video about the exactly the same thing, but the way they create content is completely different. Their views, their opinions, the way they treat that subject is really different. So, you know, I personally believe that if creators work really hard, if they genuinely, truly work really hard to build a connection with their audience, if they work super hard to ensure that their audience, you know, comes back to them, not because of the content, but also because of the relationship that they've built with them, that in that case, I think the scare comes down a lot. And, you know, you don't feel envious about anything, because I know while others do grow, others would really grow well on YouTube, at least it doesn't take away anything from me. So for me, I think apart from creating quality content, which is something that almost all YouTube creators speak about, that you need to really create quality content on YouTube. And of course, that's the holy grail. You need to create good quality content, but it's also super important, you know, for us, it's super important for us as creators to build and invest and nurture the relationships that we've built with our, with our audiences, because only then will they want to still come back to you, even if they have 20,000 other options to watch on YouTube. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And the very first line that I catched out is when you said that making quality content is something very important, otherwise you will be sidelined.
Right.
Very honest. Absolutely. Very honest. I think that really made sense 100%. I think I was looking out for that perfect answer, and you sort of really gave that.
Thank you.
Right. So Saloni, like in these tough times, like amidst the pandemic, like what made you initiate the Hustle Post? Like Hustle Post is a sort of a platform which is teaching entrepreneurship to young minds. Right. Isn't that risky? Like when there's a condition similar to recession, wherein the money is not flowing out of people's pocket, and you've been right. trying to sort of teach people about entrepreneurship and earning money.
Right, right. Very true. It's such an important question to answer. Honestly, you know, I was of that opinion when I was thinking of starting Hustle Post. To be very honest, this idea was in my head for last a year and a half almost. I was juggling with this idea of whether I should do it or is there a need for it. I was looking at, you know, I was coming up with all kinds of excuses to postpone it. But when the lockdown happened, I was like, you know, this is like the perfect time to really, this is the perfect time to really just, you know, go ahead and give this a shot, because why not? Like, there's absolutely no reason why, you know, I should not use this time productively to get something for my audiences. So while I started Hustle Post, I had all of these questions around, you know, whether the idea itself is going to be exciting enough for people. Is this the right time to talk about these kind of ideas, or should people just, you know, stay put and be where they are and just 200% with whatever opportunities they have in hand and wait for the situation to settle down to start something new? But I had all of these, you know, questions and all of these problems that I had made up in my head as well. But, you know, then I came across one very interesting article. I think it was on Forbes or one of these magazines. I came across an article which spoke about the companies that started in the 2008 recession. You know, when we had recession in 2008,
right.
There were these companies that had started, and some of them, like Airbnb, started around that time. WhatsApp started mm-hmm. around that time. There were so many of these companies, you know, that actually made use of the time and, you know, the absolute craziness of that situation, and they created a business that today is worth billions. So for me, I was like, you know, we can always look for an excuse to not really do something, or we can always look for an look and find faults with the kind of time that we have or the kind of situation that we are handed on to. But you know, in the past, we've seen for a fact that, you know, people have actually made use of times like these and have really created a lot of very interesting opportunities for people. And also because, you know, in the lockdown, all of us had a lot more time in hand compared to when, you know, we had our traditional normal routine going on. So for me, like I said, because I was sitting on this idea for year and a half, I never got a chance to really start working on that because I was so occupied. I was so occupied with this, with the notion that, you know, I really, really had to take time out of my normal routine to really start working yeah. on something like this. But with lockdown, I was like, here's time. I'm giving it to you on platter. Like, what is your excuse now to not really start doing something. So yeah. I took that as a challenge and I started Hustle Post. And honestly, like, thank God I started, because the idea has resonated with so many people. And, you know, with Hustle Post, I don't necessarily speak about, we never speak about, you know, you quitting your job and then doing something. I speak about this idea of side hustle, which is, you know, where what you do is you start a project on the side of your full-time job and you dedicate a lot of your time and energy on it for a year, year and a half. And then, you know, because you regularly put in your time and energy to grow that project into something big, it can have the potential to become your full-time career in like a year, year and a half. So, and there's no better time than lockdown for people to really start working on a side project, because we had so much time in hand, right? We right. were not traveling. We were not traveling. We were not spending 2 hours in the traffic going to office. We were most people, like, you know, either a lot of people I know for a fact were sadly, you know, laid off from work because of the situation and things. And they were then looking for motivation. They were looking for things that they could do with their time. And from that perspective, I think Hustle Post was launched at the right time. So people could find something that they really wanted to do for themselves and really like work hard to achieve that.
I think it's very apt to the name Hustle Post. Like when you're hustling with a life, when you're doing that 9-to-5 corporate job, at the same time you're trying to innovate and right. reinvent yourself through
Absolutely.
It. Right. Saloni, I really wish you the best for this Hustle Post and looking forward to be the best in the emerging field in terms of entrepreneurial success.
Thank you.
Also, there's one thing that I really want to discuss with you. Like, how's the Hustle Post journey been? Like, I think you must have started it 2 months back.
Right. Yes. So the journey has actually been amazing. It started off.
How's the response and everything?
The response has been great. It's been absolutely crazy, in the sense that, you know, I started off with an idea that this would help maybe 50-60 people, and even if I was able to help 50-60 people, I would have called myself successful, because, you know, I would have personally had the opportunity to help 50 people, like, you know, redesign their life. So I had that assumption, but today we're sitting at 1,200 students who are with us in the academy. We're working with a community of 20,000 people who are members of the free website that we have, where we create a lot of content, a lot of articles for people, where they can really like consume that information. On Instagram, our page is growing. So the community has become so large, and And everybody has come back to us with only positive reviews on the kind of efforts that we're putting into things. So, you know, I could not have imagined this kind of response at all from people. When I started, it could have been that, you know, I was underconfident, or maybe I wasn't confident enough on my own idea. But the response that I saw was so much more than what I expected it to be. And I'm so glad today. I'm thankfully saying that I'm so glad that I started this, because, you know, every Wednesday, every Monday, every Thursday, I sit down with my students. We do video calls. I answer their questions. I really, you know, really try and be a part of the business that they're trying to build for themselves. And that joy of really just being a part of, you know, so today, like, the business that I've started is not just one business. I am a part of 1,200 other businesses that are, you know, that are
wow.
Being worked on in the academy.
Yeah.
So that feeling, I cannot put it in words.
Wonderful. I mean, that's very mesmerizing, I would say, because
right.
being a part of 1,200 businesses is not a joke.
And out of those 1,200 people, I know they're getting the right kind of guidance to start their business, not just through me. We also have guest speakers who come and speak to these people. They speak to the students. They give them direction. They tell them exactly what to do, how to do things. And I'm just so happy that I'm able to facilitate all of that, you know, just bring in the right people to guide these people and just have these 1,200 success stories that would maybe in a year, year and a half from now, we'll see like 1,200 other businesses that would have started,
Wonderful.
You know, right from India. That feeling, like, and the fact that we're talking about Atmanirbhar Bharat and we're talking about all of these things right now, I think this initiative has come in at just the right.
Yeah, it's very in sync with the government policies.
Absolutely.
I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to this as, like, you know, the emerging one, the successful emerging business
right.
in the recent times.
Right.
Very true. And when you said that you're a part of like 1200 businesses, and I know that you are a human, and it does happen that a person gets exhausted. So my question is, over that particular phase, like, right, how do you react to the time when you're like absolutely bored and tired, but yet you have to do it? Because right, this is your passion. This is something that you have chose to, and you don't want to revise your decisions of going back to the corporates. So like, how do you sort of channelize this? Because it's very personal to me, because there are times wherein I really don't want to shoot certain things, but you know, it's already that client is there with you, you have to go on board, do the Zoom calls, and it's sort of I need a motivation for this. What would you say?
Right. I completely understand where you're coming from. And, you know, I've always maintained this, you know, for a very long time, my personal tagline that I had for myself was ambitious but lazy. So I am a super lazy person, and I love to have my free time. And, you know, I don't function very well if I'm just working 24/7. That's just not the kind of that's not the kind of hustle that I promote. I promote like a hustling blended with a lot of self-care and a lot of like self-love. I think that's that's like a very sustainable model of making sure that you're working for yourself in the long run. So I think for me personally, if I have to share my personal route, my personal journey with people, I think what I do is, you know, if at all there comes a point where I feel like now is the time when I need to take a break, I do it. I don't question myself. I don't give me 20 reasons as to why it's a terrible idea for me to take a break. I just pause. I pause, and I pause for like an hour. Sometimes I pause for a day. There have been days where I've paused entirely for a weekend, where I'm just like, it's okay. If I'm not getting 100% of my productivity out, it's completely okay for me to take a break. Because, you know, people like you and I, we're in the creative industry. We can't fake enthusiasm that, you know, that we are super enthusiastic about a project when we really are not. You know, if we do half-hearted work, it shows. And it shows so badly in our work that, you know, I would rather not have that kind of work go as a part of my personal brand. So I take breaks, a lot of them. You know, when I started Hustle Post, I haven't been able to be just as regular as I was on YouTube, because, you know, I only have 24 hours in a day and I only have two hands. There's only so much I can do. And while one option would be for me to sit and sulk about the idea that I am not able to upload enough content on YouTube, I choose to not do that. I'm just like, it's okay. I am a human being. If I'm working on one project, if I'm giving a lot of my time and energy to that project, if the other project is suffering temporarily, I think that's okay. And my audience is mature enough to also understand, and they're just so supportive of the idea that, you know, I went ahead and I put out a story one day saying that, hey, I feel terrible about not uploading on YouTube. And the kind of messages I got from them, every single person was like, hey, listen, we understand you're doing like too many things, you don't have to worry about it. And
that's so sweet.
Exactly. So, you know, this is what I spoke about in the beginning, just making sure that you build that relationship with your audience, where, you know, every time I was doing something, I kept them looped in. Like, hey, guys, so I'm working on this. Hey, listen, I'm working on that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So they knew what was going on in my life. So, you know, they never saw me as somebody who was just randomly taking breaks. They were just so involved in my journey from the beginning that they cut me some slack too. They were like, hey, girl, go take a break, do whatever you want, come back after a break about yourself. So yeah, so I think it's amazing that I've built a community like that, and that my audience is genuinely that supportive. Apart from that, I think the most important thing that we I truly believe in is also the fact that, you know, I don't work 7 days a week. I don't work 14 hours a day, 15 hours a day. There have been stretches where I've had to do that. But for me personally, like, I know my boundaries. I set my boundaries, and I work for a certain number of hours in a day, and I work from Monday to Friday, and Saturday, Sundays are for me. Like, these are boundaries that I've set very clearly for myself, so that it doesn't really lead to a burnout over time. Like, and I've been very close to a burnout, and I know how that feels like, and I would never want to be in that position again.
Very true. I think that's super important to have that self-love. And Nidhi, there's this new thing that is emerging in the industry, which is a buzz topic, I would say, or which has a lot of buzz around it.
Right.
So all these new people in their 20s and like, you know, early 30s, they're like, okay, let me start a YouTube channel. Let me start doing a podcast, or let me do something on the social media. Let me start growing my Instagram page. And initially, for at least for 1 year or 2 years, I mean, they don't even stick to that. They stick to like 1 week or 2 weeks. And they're like, see, bro, I'm not earning out of this. Why are you doing it? Many people questioned me, Omkar, why are you taking podcasts, you're not earning money out of it. What's the point of doing it?
Right.
So I have my own answer. But before I reveal my answer, I wanted to know from you, like, what sort of perspective do you have towards all the scenarios when you're not earning money, but you're trying to grow on the social media feed?
Right. So this is something that I talk about very, very specifically in my academy as well. I think personally for me, what's really, really important is the fact that, whoever gets into any of these online content creation business, it's super important for you to have this very clear in your mind that this is a long-term heavy patience industry. You cannot just enter the space and be like, I want to start making money right away. That just doesn't happen. That's not, you go back and have a look at the most successful people's journey. Most of them started off, at least spent a couple of years in the industry doing absolutely everything just for the love of the process itself. So for me, like what I said, it's okay if I don't get paid a certain amount of money every single month. Like, my income is pretty unstable. There are some months where I do so well, and then there are some months where I don't do, where I don't even make enough to pay my rent, which is fine because it gets compensated by the other month where I made so much more money. So, I'm okay with that kind of imbalance in my life. I'm okay with that kind of, erratic earnings and all of that, because I genuinely, genuinely love the process that I'm a part of. So the reward that I get out of content creation is not the money, but an equally good reward that I get out of it is the joy of creating that content itself, joy of building that community, joy of getting to interact with so many people and working with them, the process itself. That process is so rewarding for me that it's okay if I don't get paid a certain amount of money every month. If there's no guarantee of income every single month, I'm completely.
Yeah, and it's pretty unstable. It's pretty unstable.
It is unstable. Like, I want to make this like very clear for anybody who's looking to enter this industry. This industry is not going to give you like strong, heavy paychecks every single month. Even if you may be the most successful YouTuber out there, you're going to have ups and downs in your months. It's just a thing that we have in this industry.
Yeah. It is normal, to be honest.
Absolutely normal. So that's why, it's important.
The new normal.
Yeah, it is the new normal. It's super important for us to, not link success with the money that we make in this industry, but also link success with the joy, the process, the freedom. Which other job really gives you this kind of freedom to really like just be your own boss, do things as per your own schedule, really have freedom in the truest possible sense. So for me, like, if my income is compromised a little bit, but it gives me the kind of life that I truly want to live, I think I'm completely okay with that.
Wow. I think today we had this dissecting of the aspects of social media wherein we really understood. People were like, okay, I'm quitting my job. So like, kal se mujhe 10,000 rupaya milna chalu ho jayega through social media. Bro, it's not that thing. It's like, as you said, it's a long-term investment and highly unstable, high risk appetite journey of the industry that the people are indulging into.
Absolutely. It requires a lot of patience. I think we don't have more YouTubers right now because there's absolutely no barrier to entry, right? Anybody and everybody can have a YouTube channel. But the reason why we don't have lakhs and lakhs of people doing YouTubing right now is because not everyone has the patience to really sit through that 1 year of not having to get anything in return for the kind of work that you do. So I think that's the barrier to entry.
Right. Very true. I think it was so important to have this conversation. And I'm really thankful that you really opened up so well, telling us the niches and telling us the A to Z of this industry. Concluding with a very last question, like, how far have you come in your life? Like, how does it feel to be so influential at this point of time?
I wouldn't deny the fact that I have some influence on some people. I do, because I know for a fact that, a lot of people who've started their YouTube channels regularly come back to me and tell me that, hey, listen, I started because I saw your videos and I was so excited of by the content creation process and everything that they started their own channel. So in a way, yes, I've had positive influences on the life of so many people. Plus, now I'm like hands-on involved with 1,200 businesses, like I spoke. So it's amazing to have that kind of influence. And it's amazing to really, feel that, there are people who really look up to the kind of work that I do. But at the same time, it's also really scary. If I'm being very honest, it's very, very scary too. Because, I need, when there is a clear... When it's absolutely clear that, I am when it's absolutely clear that, you know, there are people looking up to you and are looking up to the kind of actions that you take, it's so important for you to ensure that, you know, you don't send out the wrong message. You don't send out the wrong kind of information to people. And I just have to be doubly sure of everything that I do, just to be sure that, you know, because now there are so many people who are listening to everything that I do, it's important for me to do the right thing at the right time.
You have to be more conscious and alert.
Yeah, I just have to be more conscious of my decisions. And of course, I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. So that's okay. And my audience is also really sweet enough to really forgive me for the tiny mistakes that may happen every once in a while here and there. That's completely okay with me. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, I wouldn't, like, mistakes and blunders are two very different things. And I just have to be very cautious that I don't end up making blunders. So I think it's an amazing feeling to have the kind of influence that I have right now. It's nothing compared to the kind of influence that a lot of people have, but that's not what I aspire to have. Like, you know, what I have right now is absolutely amazing, and I wouldn't trade that for anything else in life. So while it's amazing, it's also a little scary, and I think that's a nice bittersweet spot to be in.
Yeah, very true, very true. And like one sweet thing for our audience, that is, like, is there something that your audience doesn't know and you really want to reveal it? Any sort of talent that you have that the audience doesn't know and that you possess?
There are a lot of things that I think, so I recently made a video on 20 facts about me where I spoke about like 20 wacky things about me that a lot of people didn't know about. But, so I covered a lot of things there, but I think, a very weird talent that I have, that I think a lot of people don't know about is, you give me 5 minutes, I'll sleep off. Like, no matter how crowded the location is, no matter how, you know, I could just sleep standing in a Mumbai local and really like, in a crowded Mumbai local, like beat Dadar station where everyone's really just getting out of the local, I would still be asleep. Like, it takes...
Don't tell me that. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. I've actually done that. I've missed the Dadar station once. I was supposed to get down because I had my work, and because I slept off in the train, I missed the station. Like, who can miss Dadar station?
Exactly. Who can miss Dadar?
Yeah, but I missed it. Like, I can sleep. Like, I'm a sleeper. You give me an opportunity to sleep and you tell me that, hey, listen, no one's going to disturb you for the next 10 minutes, I will sleep off and I'll sleep like a baby.
So, like, there needs to be someone who's always nagging you, like, Saloni, like...
Yeah, so, like, you know how it is in Mumbai locals, right? When you sit and you're like, hey, when are you going to get down? Your seat is mine after that. So, I was like, I and then when I didn't wake up, like, that lady was also like, arey, main soch rahi thi, aap utre kyu nahi, aap to so rahe ho.
Then finally, where did you get down? Churchgate?
Yeah, Churchgate. And then I took local again. Churchgate, I was very politely, I was woken up by the lady, a very nice lady who was sitting next to me.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's Bombay. Bombay has sweet people.
Exactly. So I think, Saloni, I really don't want to end this conversation because we have indulged ourselves, like, you know, speaking about what things are happening around. Absolutely. And it's been really a blissful session. Do you want to have one more Frappuccino?
No, that's it. I am done.
All right. So it was a wonderful session with Saloni Srivastava, wherein she really told us, like, you know, the different aspects about the industry, about the content creating industry, that it's a high risk, high appetite. You should have the high appetite of holding the risk, and it's definitely going to be fruitful after a certain period of time. It's a long-term investment that you're going to be doing on. And also she has this new initiative of Hustle Post, wherein you can really try to achieve something new apart from your corporate jobs of 9 to 5. So stay tuned to House of Josh podcast show. Do like, share and subscribe with your friends, and we'll be back with yet another exciting episode. We'll be interacting with great people from this industry, from the business, from the entrepreneurial success, and getting to know what their niche and what they are up to. So all right, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
इस हब हॉपर ओरिजिनल को सुनने के लिए आपका शुक्रिया। अगर आप भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करना चाहते हैं, तो हब हॉपर स्टूडियो वेबसाइट पे रजिस्टर करें और 1 मिनट के अंदर अंदर अपना खुद का पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करें। यही नहीं, स्टूडियो देता है आपको पूरी आजादी कहीं भी कभी भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करने की, सिर्फ 3 आसान स्टेप्स में। तो साथ में अपना पॉडकास्ट शुरू करने के लिए तैयार, जस्ट हॉप ऑन हब हॉपर, सिंपली कॉन्टेंट।